item upon the agenda is public comment. Is there anyone here who would like to make a public comment?
This isn't on, so.
Okay.
No one was planning to call.
Seeing none, we'll close that portion of the meeting and move to the adoption of the September 2018 agenda.
I move for the adoption of minutes.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Motion passes. Next is the report discussion action items. The first one is the approval of the Finance Committee meeting minutes for March 12, 2018. Anybody have any questions or comments or changes to the minutes?
I was not here. Validated.
I'll move to approve the minutes.
Is there a second?
Second. We need seconds? Okay.
Any question? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion passes. Next is a review or discussion of the audit process and staffs. Staff to make that presentation.
All right, thank you very much. My name is Ernest Blazard. I am the financial services manager for the district. Oops, I did something wrong there. There we go. I've been with the district now a little over 6 weeks and gone through the audit. I'd like to talk through that in a little bit more detail, but before I do, if I may shift the order of the discussion topics just a bit. There was a question that was raised regarding accreditation, and this is just a quick review of the costs incurred since the last report in January of this year. We've spent roughly $21,000 in personnel costs related to accreditation. Most of this has been related to quality assurance policy development. As you are aware from the past discussion, there have been funds that have been spent on licensing, association fees, etc., travel, training related to accreditation, and the progress of the accreditation is going very, very well. So since that time in January, as you can see, we've spent a little bit on personnel and continuing with that process, which we believe is very, very important going forward. With regard to the audit, we finished up just recently the audit for this year. I'm happy to report that since the previous audit in 2017, we've been able to mitigate significantly mitigate the material weaknesses that were found from the previous audit with no repeated findings. Now, this is significant because we went through a series of reviews with our auditors. We identified areas that we could improve on. We identified specific action steps and we executed on those action steps. You'll recall that some of the findings included the financial close that wasn't being performed in a timely manner. There was an unapproved budget transfer between specific funds that was done out of the course of operations that was not approved by this or the board committee. Finally, there was some family planning intake that was done where the income was not verified in a proper way. And as a result, the auditor noted these findings. We will not have any repeats of these findings pending our final partner review, which is taking place as we speak. I can report that we've been through a number of managerial reviews to this point by the auditors, and they expect that we will not have any material findings for the fiscal year 2018. So very, very good news on that front. The other good news is that the audit engagement went exceptionally well this year. One of the things we did is that we were significantly ahead of schedule by the tune of between 4 to 6 weeks over last year. We were way ahead of time. We were much better prepared. We had much better participation with the auditors, with our team. And we were able to get the documents prepared. We were able to get the deliverables done in a timely way such that they could perform their work. and they were able to do so on schedule, and they continue to do so on schedule. Currently, we are anticipating getting the final results in mid-October. And again, this is according to the schedule that they put out, that they put together a long time ago, and everything is on schedule to this point. As I mentioned, there are we do not anticipate any material findings pending the final partner review. We do anticipate that they will come back to us with some control findings that are of a much less serious nature, and we intend to take action on those immediately. And I'll talk more about that in just a little bit. One of the other things that was a very good takeaway from this year's audit is that we developed a very solid relationship with our audit team, with our team, with our trusted business advisors. This is important because one of my goals in this exercise was to develop a relationship such that we wouldn't just use them for the audit on an annual basis, but that it would be an ongoing relationship that we would be able to develop with them. And they would be able to help us as we seek to rework our current structure, as we seek to rework our current challenges, and as we build a culture of accountability within our finance organization. And I'll talk more about that in just a little bit as well. But before that, I wanted to ask if there were any questions related to this year's audit that I could address at this point.
Were the auditors and or the manager the same team that has audited before?
As I understand it, it was the same manager.
It was the same manager and the same team. Yeah. The same on-site manager as well as the same partner.
Okay.
Actually.
Thank you.
And thus far, we've gotten some very good feedback from that team in relation to the audit.
Yes.
And can I ask on the accreditation, because mm-hmm. we kind of skimmed over that pretty
sure.
fast. That's a much better number than the number that we've seen at the board meeting.
Okay.
Can't remember. I feel like it was $1 million or something at the board meeting, and we knew the grant was only $200,000. So is that going to be...
I'm sure it's not. It's. I don't remember. I wasn't at the July meeting, as you know. Andy, do you recall
it was a very big number.
The number was different because, for accreditation, we have to document processes that are occurring at the district. And in the numbers that you saw before, what you saw was that documentation cost included as a part of that. But it's a normal part of doing business as a good business and following practices in public health that we should be following anyhow. So the way that we're reporting it now is the actual cost of just the accreditation as opposed to all the other routine practices and routine work that we do during the course of the day-to-day.
Well, and the reason that I'm asking is because that was a huge conflict with the employees because they felt we were going to be spending all this money on accreditation as opposed to hiring more folks, which we all agreed we needed. So that's why for me it was surprising to see the number, because we'd been telling them, no, that's not possible. So at least at some point I just want this number reflected better than the number that we have last time, because we don't want to mislead the
employees. This is a direct true cost of just the accreditation itself since January. Now, of course, before we also reported on the cost of having the accreditation,
the fees.
Yeah, the fee for the accreditation. But again, that's minimal.
And that's been probably. That's not reflected. We didn't do that this fiscal year.
Correct.
Even last fiscal year. I think that's
correct.
Previous fiscal year that we paid those fees. So those have been.
Well, at least for me, it's got it, especially because we worked so hard in the budget last year to get EH to fly on their own, what does that cost, and we did everything. This should have its own line item so we can keep track of what that is. I mean, isn't that how you do it in regular budgets?
Of course, yeah.
Because that's what I just think that, right, if we're trying to be consistent, we got to be consistent. So for me.
Okay.
I mean, I don't, You guys agree with me, or?
No, I'm with you, for sure. They're nodding, yes.
You need to know how much something's going to cost, right?
Yeah. Right.
I can't remember the number either, whatever it was.
It was a big number, though, because I was like, what? When did we approve that?
It might have included all kinds of staff time, et cetera, et cetera.
And then assuming that we're accredited after the site visit in early July, Emily won't be following anymore. She's the one who did the presentation. We have another employee who will take over in terms of monitoring. It's not really accreditation anymore once we get accredited. And the accreditation is for 5 years.
Correct.
And that was reflected in a previous presentation that we gave to you as to what that cost was. So we wouldn't be incurring much on an annual basis. By much, I think, and you may help me, but...
$7,500.
If at the most, I could think, on an annual basis.
And that fee.
So at least for me personally, I've been trying to find the balance with our board to have us be able to go forward with this. And when we talk about board direction, we get one number, but then you came back and you said, oh my gosh, we're almost ready to the good part where you get to meet with everybody. Here's a different number. It just makes it inconsistent on, you know, if we want to move forward, if I want to buy Scott's car, I got to know what is the price. How do I plan for it? Yeah. So that's all I'm saying is we have not been consistent to this date at what that actual number is and how much it's going to cost so that we can ensure that we're staying within our budget. So for me, that's...
I'm not sure you're going to cover that. Maybe you're going to cover this in more detail, but last year, for example, some of the findings that they detailed here, the first one, the financial close, that seemed like it was a couple of different problems there. One was perhaps we didn't have enough bodies in the right places.
Right.
And another thing was that perhaps it wasn't as much of a priority as it should have been.
Right.
So how was that corrected? How do our auditors know that that's been corrected?
We took that second part that you'd mentioned and made it a priority in terms of getting the year-end completed. And we put the right people on the right tasks in order to make that happen. So that addresses... The two parts of what you were asking. In terms of the timing as well, we started well ahead of time to get all of our documents prepared and to get all of our schedules to where they were checked and rechecked before they were submitted to the auditors. So they had all of their information ahead of time, and we were ready to proceed. They were ready to proceed. We were ready to provide them supplemental information as they asked. And so all of that went much smoother than it had in the past when we were just trying to play catch up and get a final number to provide for them.
And on the third finding, once again, that appeared to be a situation where perhaps we needed more training.
Right.
So that people were doing the right things. But then how are the auditors confirming that that procedure is being followed so that we are getting the correct information and charging people the correct amount?
Right. They went through a series of tests of different intakes and they checked it against various schedules, including the federal poverty guidelines. They checked it against the processes that we put in place and that we trained our team on so that they could say, okay, did they follow the proper procedures here? In this particular case, training was provided for the intake people. There were no material findings from from the most current audit. So there were a couple of instances in which the auditors discovered a couple of findings. We met as a team and we identified, no, we were correct. We followed the policy, we followed the guidelines, and then the auditor said, oh, yeah, it appears you did. So they backed off from that part of it. There was another one that was a calculation error in our system that was apparently a programming glitch that has since been repaired. It basically made a difference of a couple of percentage points in the calculation. So again, related to this, there were a couple of findings, but they were minor in nature and didn't pass the threshold of materiality that the previous years did.
But you'll have that report. The next Finance Committee meeting is October 30th, and that's set so that the audit will be complete. And I believe, as usual, Richard will be coming, or someone
correct.
From the firm will come and meet with this committee, and then in November, we'll meet with the full board.
Did I answer your question?
Yeah, I did. Okay.
So in this, Mr. Chairman, so within this, are you going to address the component of, I thought that we said, and remind me, as a finance committee, right, go back and evaluate. We have 22 employees in that. Go back and evaluate and see if that's enough or not enough. Go back and evaluate where our weaknesses were within the department. Did we have that discussion?
We did. I think we also talked about whether or not our own internal auditor, whether we had a department sufficiently staffed that we would need an internal auditor, or if we didn't need that at this point.
So are you going to cover that? Because I feel like we're talking about the last audit, right?
Yeah, we're talking about the last audit and then how it's related to this current audit that we've just completed, and the fact that we haven't had the repetition of the findings from the previous year. With respect to the staffing, that's an ongoing thing that we're going to be looking at. We did get some input from an internal review. We're continuing to get input from in working with consultants. And as I mentioned, one of the relationships that we are building with our current auditors is they are going to be able to provide us invaluable guidance as far as how we are staffing and where we need to have the right people in the right places. I look at that as a very great takeaway from this year's audit, and that we were able to develop that relationship with them, and we've already started down that path of being able to ask them questions and continue the dialogue, continue the discussions that we've had during the current audit, and be able to identify, Are our people in the right places? Do we have enough to be able to man these processes and be able to function properly? And so these are some things that we'll be looking at, and I'll discuss a little bit further detail, if I may.
Because I'm perplexed, because I feel like we wanted you to go out and hire someone right away to get all of that, and sounds like we did or didn't.
We had two pieces that relate directly to your question. One is, and I know you'll remember this, Mayor Marsh consented to have someone come up and do an external review,
right,
which she did. We had someone from the city come over to do a review of our IT department as part of our ongoing quality improvement kind of processes. And so we used that part of that information, and then we did hire a contractor who came in and gave a very similar kind of, internal, external, / both. Audit, and so we have ended up with the current configuration, which Ernest may want to talk about, with some changes. So, for example, there were three employees who do the warehouse, who work in the warehouse. That doesn't seem to be a financial services issue, and so we transferred those three people over to facilities, who takes care of our building and does the warehouse. So we've done a lot of that internal kind of change as well.
And so when you make those changes, because I could see where warehouse, because they take in all the purchasing and everything has to match up.
Right.
So when you make those changes, how is that notification done? Just so we're prepared if employees ask the questions, how is that done? No. You just move it on paper, or you move them physically reporting to somebody else? How does that work?
Yeah, it's physically. Yeah, I'm sorry. Physically reporting to someone else, and then in terms of notifications, do you mean to the committee here?
Or how do you notify them that they're being moved?
Oh, that's.
Is that an HR issue?
Yes.
Okay.
Through HR and working very closely with them to make sure that the proper levels of communication and timing of those communications take place, and so that they're aware of it and that the rest of the teams are aware of it at the proper time.
Okay.
If I may, just a couple of other examples is that there were some issues between legal and contracts. And contracts person sat in Ernest's office. And so we've made the choice to put the contract person underneath Annette. And I don't want to speak for you, but I can imagine, she's, Vera Lynn used to work for Annette and is back now. And we all think Vera Lynn is top notch. And that will really streamline it's in the process of being streamlined. I think all the contracts are now turned over to you and Vera Lynn, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
So that's another example. We did have a billing clerk And all she worked on were clinical services. And so we made the decision to have her report to Dr. Legan in the back and to his team, because that's the only program in finance that she worked with. And that, so that really gets the line of authority more aligned with who is responsible in the long run of those duties. Same thing with the facilities piece.
No, and it's just easier for us to explain and justify if we know the vision behind where we're trying to get our budget, what are we're trying to align our budget in. Because I think in the past, in my opinion, it was a hodgepodge of everybody was everywhere, and now we're trying to break it out. But it's hard for folks, including us, when we see it like that, when we've been so used to it being a hodgepodge.
Right.
So now we're paying a little more attention because now we can identify.
But I would say, and you may disagree with me, but finance is not finance.
Yeah.
Without a lot of extraneous functions, which I think one of the issues, without speaking out of school, is that there wasn't a lot of cross-training going on by the previous director. And although he may not have yet had much time coming in as the audit was starting, that's one of the expectations we have out of Ernest, is to do this cross-training so that we have more people being able to do more things.
So out of the 22 employees, how many did you move? I mean, because I thought that was a lot of people. The county only has 13. So you moved people around, right? So that lowered your number on the actual finance folks.
Right. We're down to, what, 16 right now, Janet? Yeah.
Which
is that
makes
right?
a lot more sense.
Well, I have four accountants and five techs and one payroll person who actually do finance. Then we have a purchasing, and we have, well, a couple of purchasing people. That's all we've had 10 people under me as the supervisor.
And I think it looked right like there was 22.
Well, at one point, as we moved the facilities team, the warehouse right. team to the facilities team, we moved the as Dr. Iser mentioned the billing person to now the clinical services team. So it's a smaller footprint.
Okay. So. It's more in line, right? Because when you consider the county has 10,000 people, 13, you have 500, 16, 22 looked really bad. Okay.
Yeah. So, and again, this is a work in progress, and I'll talk about that in just a bit. If I could move on to the next slide.
You might get a chance to finish.
Whatever, Bob.
As I mentioned, we addressed the previous audit findings through improved processes, and this is a work in process, and I want to talk just very briefly about some of our goals as a finance team. We are looking at each one of the policies and the processes that we have, and we're identifying opportunities to improve those. Some of them are fully in place, and they're being worked, they're being followed, they're being amended, they're being adhered to. Some of them need to be readjusted. Both with respect to compliance and both with respect to the type of operations that we do, the type of setup, the type of organization that we have. And so this is something that is going to be happening on an ongoing basis. We're going to be reviewing each one of our policies. We're going to be reviewing all of our processes related to those policies. How are we doing? What are ways that we can do better in relation to following those? In addition is the challenge of compliance with our statutes and with all of our requirements. And that's a very big issue, and it's something that we've spoken at length with the auditors about, is a very important series of compliance requirements have come down the line that we are now obligated to comply with. So we're going to be looking at those very, very carefully in the near term. As I mentioned, there are opportunities, and part of the work that I'll be doing and working with each one of the teams is identifying where are those opportunities that we can make our policies better, that we can improve them, that we can modernize them, that we can take advantage of new systems, new ways of doing things, new technologies, etc., in driving this process better and setting a standard of excellence within our finance team.
So I brought this issue up because now with the new Gatsby rules,
yes.
They can go and ask fraudulent questions, and so I didn't want that to become our audit. So what is, do you have a time frame on these new policies that you're going to revisit? So most governments have a time frame, a calendar, so they know when they're working on them, because you can't possibly do a good job by looking at all of them at once.
Clearly not. We're going to be looking primarily at, I'll tip my hand a little bit, we're going to be looking at our purchasing and procurement.
Okay, good. That's
as a primary focus in the next, in this fiscal year. I don't have right now a time frame on when that's going to be completed. I can tell you that that's going to be our focus in this fiscal year. And we are going to be looking at all of the processes surrounding that and all of the things that we are doing right, some, and quite a few of the things that we can do better with respect to that.
So Dr. Iser, is that something that comes before the board? Do we ever see that? Is it ever the policy? Is it an internal document only?
Those are internal.
Internal, okay. But it only...
The board has your own policies, and then you have or your predecessors have delegated that for these kinds of policies. Some of the policies are district-wide. I end up signing them. Some of them are within administration, and you would end up signing those. But something like this, I'll probably end up signing as well after reviewing.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I like to be in everybody's business, I guess, fellas.
Sure.
So that we know what they are. Well, we have an idea what they are, so when employees come or other people ask, at least know where to go find it.
Right. All of our policies are online, and so we can get you access to
them. I know. I'm waiting for you to update that website so it's user-friendly.
That's not on this agenda, but
in the next budget,
it should be done within a month or two. Is that correct, Andy?
It should be done by the end of October.
Yeah, that's an ongoing project to get that going.
Both the internet and the intranet that employees access.
Okay, perfect.
Okay. I wanted to give a very brief, if I may, update on our budget and expenditures to date. This is through August of 2018. A couple of caveats. We are operating on our current budget timeline against exactly that, a timeline. Through the 2 months of this fiscal year, we've spent about $9.5 million against a projected timeline of $9.7 million. In 2 months out of this year, we expected that we would be about that far. So we are spending under our current budget guideline. I am cognizant of the fact that this is a budget that I didn't have any input in. And I also realize, too, that there are some things that we would like to do differently in this next go-around. Our budget process will start officially at the beginning of November, but we're going to be doing a lot of preparatory work ahead of that time to train our folks on how to do it properly and also put in place, in addition to a budget, a spend plan that's bound by time such that we can monitor and manage our activities much more accurately. Inclusive in there are going to be two things that we frankly don't do a very good job with right now. One of them is a forecasting methodology, and secondly is a really solid reconciliation at the end of each quarter and at the end of each period. So those are going to be several of the projects that we're going to be working on, and we're going to be employing the help of our business partners in this. I want to make sure that the budget is a tool. It's a usable tool for all of our business partners within the district such that they can manage their operations much more accurately, and that we can help them in this process. That's going to be one of our goals, is collaborating with all of our business partners as such, so that we can be in lockstep with them in terms of how they're doing things, in terms of serving their needs, and in terms of helping them achieve their goals. Okay. Moving on to the next slide.
So I need to... Before you leave that...
Yeah, sure.
...that slide, I see that basically we are under budget expenditures, which is generally a good thing.
Yeah.
But that's been being driven by slower than anticipated hiring.
Correct.
So the only downside of that is if you're not providing the level of service or the services that we're supposed to, because you're not staffed correctly. So I just want to make sure that, you know,
there's that balance there. Are we comfortable that we're providing those services even though we haven't hired the people that you would have anticipated?
Yeah, as best we can with our current staffing levels. And, clearly we've already identified where we have gaps, and we have plans in place. The process of getting people on board, it takes time. And there's a lot of work and a lot of effort involved. We want to make sure we get the right people into the district and to be part of our teams. So that's a short answer to your question.
Part of my answer would be also that we do have, in the first 6 months, when people are on private probationary periods, there are two areas where we have entry-level kinds of folks that would be in disease investigations and in environmental health. And if you look at this little chart down below, we're actually full on environmental health, but that doesn't mean that everyone is a journeyman. So there are people in training at all time, in both of those areas in particular. The one area that I know you and I have just recently talked about is that we're applying for 5 new grants, Mike, and
yes,
that'll be 25 additional employees in disease investigations and so on. So they're starting to gear up to look at hiring those folks as well. And we did just receive notice. We've had this chronic disease grant that sometimes is on, sometimes is all off. And we just got the new version of it. The PITCH grant is what this one is called, or REACH.
REACH.
REACH is the new one. PITCH was the last one.
I was going to say PITCH went away,
PITCH didn't go away.
Racial and ethnic approaches to care.
Uh-huh. And that's $800,000 a year. And so that will be higher. For 5 years, so we're going to be hiring more people. And of course, there will be turnover probably in that area too. We had a great health educator who has young children, and she left about 6 months ago, more or less. And so there, even people who are at the journeyman level will leave for various reasons. And so that will keep us a little bit behind. And I think for clinical services, which is our other big service area, is that we're gearing up to go into primary care, as you all know. You all voted for that, and so we're in the process of hiring. It becomes difficult, and I don't want to speak for you, but I will, is that trying to hire nurse practitioners in particular has been difficult for us because we haven't traditionally been able to afford what the hospital can afford or what private practices can afford. I'm not sure if you use APRNs, but what private practices can afford. So we're looking at our salary schedule as well to be more competitive, to help bring in the people that we need in that area in particular.
So just to Scott's point, though, so at least for me personally, I don't want to get in the habit of not being able to fill these positions and keep rolling them over, because there are truly positions that we do need. There's training that people want. So maybe we're not forecasting ourselves right how many people we need if we can't find them, and maybe we have to step up our recruitment efforts. I mean, I get it. It takes a long time. It's 6 months to get through the county, but we had 11 positions in environmental health open last year, so we just want to, maybe we got to forecast a little bit different, or, I mean, because this is since July, right away, the first quarter. But what if this number looks the same way in February, I'm going to be concerned that maybe we don't need these positions and there's something else that we do need, to your point of service and put in the right place.
Combination of all of those things. You know, we need to forecast better, clearly, and we need to be able to be harnessing our recruiting efforts in the right way, in the most effective way, to get the right people here.
Right. Okay.
Is there a better time, Mr. Chairman, to ask a question about things like grants? It's kind of a general question, but I don't know where we are in your presentation. I mean,
I'm not letting him go through one page at a time, pal.
It's my second time with you. Okay, good.
I've been with Bob all day today. We've been on the same committee.
Oh, we had an easy day.
We'll wrap it up here shortly. Last thing I wanted to talk about today was we in the finance organization are building a culture. We have a lot of challenges ahead of us. There's no question about that. But what I wanted to do is just kind of outline very quickly the objectives that we will have in the current fiscal year. First one being customer focus. We need to identify who our customers are, and we need to understand who those customers are, and we need to think about them in that way. There's an entire mindset that goes along with a customer focus about being able to serve their needs, about being able to identify what those needs are, and then ultimately being proactive about that, not just reacting to fires that come up or not reacting to challenges that come up, but being proactive and truly acting as business partners, which is what our goal is in finance. We are going to define our processes around those, how best we can serve the needs of our customers. We're going to structurally align ourselves so that we have the best or the right people, the best people, and the best opportunities to serve and to meet these expectations. We're going to also develop our team such that they become leaders. We are very good at crunching numbers. We're very good at being technicians. We're very good at delivering things. But we also need to be leaders. We also need to take charge of problem resolution. We also need to take charge of building confidence and credibility with all of our business partners. Part of that is accountability, taking responsibility and understanding how our processes work such that we can say, okay, let's figure out what the problem is, let's address these, and here's a plan for moving forward. And then finally, collaboration. Truly acting as a team, both internally within our finance organization and also externally with our business partners, and also externally with outside the district, with our consultants, with our auditors, with our other people that we do business with. This is critically important that we develop that level of collaboration. As I mentioned earlier, we're going to be looking at our process flows. I'm very big on process and understanding how things flow. How do we get from A to Z? And understanding each step along the way, identifying ways that we can become more efficient and more effective in meeting the needs of the district. We're going to be looking very, very carefully at regulatory compliance, in particular the uniform guidance, which is a big issue that's going to be impacting many different areas within our operations. As I mentioned, we're going to be looking at efficiencies and effectiveness, and we want to develop ultimately a level of reporting for each one of our business partners so that they can see how they're doing in their business. We're going to be developing metrics, we're going to be developing scorecards along with those metrics so that nobody is operating in a vacuum. Everybody understands at any given time where we are with respect to our budget, where we are with respect to our spend plan, and we're going to be putting reporting controls in place such that we can do this easily and effectively with all of our business partners. So that's just a little bit about the culture and the goals that I've set with the finance team for 2019. It's a work in process. We have multiple steps to get there, but I'm confident that with the support of this committee and also with the board and with all of our business partners and the team's efforts, we can get there.
I think one of our bottom lines, if I may be so bold, is that we won't have a December meeting for the Board of Health.
We have the past 2 years.
Oh, all right. And because of the delays and the issues with CSI, they weren't ready to be presented to you until December of last year, at least. Was it 2 years under it?
Yeah. Is anything we're doing today, Mr. Chairman, going to be part of the agenda for this board meeting next week?
Recommendations are always given to the full board.
Pardon me?
Recommendations will be given to the full board.
Okay, if we have.
So you would do, we can work with you to get a summary of this meeting for you to present to the full board.
But there aren't any action items for us to present to the to
you've done the one action item.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's correct. If I could ask that question,
yes.
I was going to ask Ernest, thank you and welcome.
Thank you. Thank
we're not
you
really
much.
Acquainted except shaking hands this morning. When I came on 14 months ago, I replaced a guy who was dedicated to this job from the city of Las Vegas, Bob Beers. He may have lost his election in 2017 because he spent so much time here on Board of Health policies. That and a few other issues. But the thing is when I come on board, I'm thinking, oh man, I was surprised at how much revenue comes in through grants. And having been, for the better part of 25 years on the money committees up in Carson City with Marilyn there, I get nervous when you live on grants, because a grant received is an obligation that in a critical agency like this, if you're living off of it and you lose a grant, you've got to figure out what to do to replace that. So it scares me in a sense that if it's a, if every mission we have is critical, then we accept a grant to perform a mission. What do we do if we lose the grant? And I got the impression at the last time that we discussed this, not at this meeting, because this is my first finance committee meeting, I got the impression that it didn't seem like it was a problem, that we'll be all right because somehow we'll make it up. But I don't know. I never feel comfortable about things like that. Have you looked at this to see, and I suppose it's partly compliance, because you have to make sure we're doing what we were awarded a grant for.
Yeah.
And how do you replace money in any particular situation if you lose a grant?
That's a good question. We operate on about, 21% of our funding coming from grants, and certainly compliance is going to be a big part of that. I think we have enough efforts in place currently with our operation to keep that flow of grants coming along. I mean, that's one of the big pushes within each one of our operations to find those grants and to make sure that we are operating within those guidelines. If they were to all suddenly drop and we didn't have any, we'd certainly be in a lot of trouble. But I think that with those efforts going on, we are able to comfortably forecast the amount of grant funding that we will have, and we're able to comfortably get a gauge on what's going to happen within the community, such that we can prepare ourselves for an eventuality like that.
Well, I'm worried about changes in Washington.
Yeah, but I think that, just so you know, you know how Dieter was set up, where some employees are strictly grant-based and they're only here for 5 years, or that's how some of these grants are set up, for one, the same as the state does, and two, that's why the ending fund balance is so important, so that we can at least get through that fiscal year if grants, without having to lay off employees.
I really, thanks, okay. What I'm thinking about, though, is the attitudes in Washington seem to be changing right now, depending on who's in control of things.
Right.
Cutting spending hasn't really become a thing so much as shorting the revenue that's needed to run government.
Right.
And sooner or later, they're going to figure out we better start cutting expenses.
Right.
Instead of just cutting taxes. So let's say they start to cut here. How much of this is soft? How much of this is vulnerable? 22%. If you lose 10% of that, you might be in trouble. So, you know, I don't know what ties this organization has and the associations that we belong to have with offices in Washington that can feel the pressure there and tell us what to expect, what to look for, what's coming down in committees, what's in the budget in play, and the next budget after that. All those things to me mean you can't run an agency well if you can't predict your funds.
Yeah.
And politics govern a lot of the funds.
Yeah.
So this is something that it absorbs my thoughts, because I just know how we're able at the state level to limit a job, to limit a position. This goes away if the grant goes away.
Yeah.
Tough luck. Goodbye.
Yeah.
That's a pass-through from the state, from the federal government. But there's so much of that going on.
Agreed.
That you may, I don't know if you're counting the 22% in that money that comes from the state that has been granted by Congress. So, surprised how much it originates in Washington.
Right, and we monitor that very, very closely, I can tell you, on a weekly basis. We have, I've got at least 2-3 people that I meet with from my staff and from the administrative staff, monitoring that very, very carefully in terms of what grants have been applied for, which have been awarded, how much are we looking at, what's the timing of those. And so I think we've got a pretty good thumb on the pulse of what is going to be coming in and any potential risks to those. We look at it as a business opportunity, each one of those grants is a business opportunity, and evaluate it as such with the potential risks, potential shortfalls. Can we comply with this even if we do get it? And we evaluate it very carefully on that basis. So while I do understand, you know, I get the idea there's going to be cutbacks at some point, and I can see that potentially happening too. There are, I mean, we're putting in, I think, enough safeguards to where we're looking at this on a weekly basis at the very most.
I just want to make sure we prepare the public for, and the legislators, our targets.
Do you have any more comments on that, Doctor?
Actually, yeah. When don't I? apologies to you all. So, for example, we've talked a lot about family planning, which could have been eliminated. It still could be eliminated. And one of the ways that we're positioning ourselves is that family planning to public health departments who do only categorical health programs likely will, they already are starting to be limited. So now the family planning program is targeting places that do primary care. That's one of the reasons why we're positioning ourselves to do primary care, because that's a lot of money that we get in. And then the state was worried about that too, because they started their own family planning funding mechanism. We didn't get a dime out of that, but just this week or last week, we were told that some of the other entities who did get money from this state grant can't use it all. Can we? And so we're configuring ourselves to take in, I think it's $500,000, isn't it?
$200,000 or $300,000.
So we take advantage of what we can see, what we can find. We have a great relationship with the state. They let us know things like this. There's another grant program, it's called ELC, that we weren't funded equitably on, but we've got a promise from the state that they realize where the problem went wrong wasn't with us, wasn't with our application, was with the process between them and CDC. And so they're promising us additional funds. I'm also, as I think most of you know, on the board of NACHO, the National Association of County and City Health Officials. And we get, they get inundated because I get these, I get information from this national organization. I'm now getting it from ASPO, which is the equivalent organization for the state health officers. And so just recently, I think this week or last, we were told that the Labor and Health and Human Services budget has passed out of the Senate. It's at the House right now. And if, when I can, I'll talk to our legislators about that. And it looks like there'll be some significant funding increases, at least at CDC, NIH, all these funding increases, at Centers for Disease Control.
Always in history.
And I understand that. But NIH is, they work on cancer cures. So at any rate, the legislature, the national legislature likes it. So we keep track of what's going on. I send stuff out to the operational divisions all the time about grant opportunities. Emily has found some. She's in the presentation last month. We now have a grant writer back on staff full time. And then we just hear about things. If they fit into what our mission is, our mission could be housing, but it's really not. That's really your mission, the city and the county. And so we'll share that information. We probably wouldn't apply for something like that because it's too much of a stretch for us to be able to do that with all of our other kinds of duties and responsibilities.
Well, you never want to apply for something you can't maintain. Right. If it's mission critical today, I hope it isn't because you could get a grant and then call it mission critical.
Well,
you've got to adjust for potential loss.
We've done a presentation in the past to the board. I know, Dr. Nemec, you were at that point. We looked at what is really required of us to do. What does state or federal law require us to do? Those are mission critical kinds of things. In addition, they don't require us to have a TB program, but if we didn't do a TB program, it wouldn't be done. And that has been less funded. Commissioner Kirkpatrick, that was two or three sessions ago, mm-hmm. where the state took back its portion of it, and we had to reach into our property taxes to cover that and to do the quality of care and the extent of care that we need to. Well, now we're hoping that times are better, that we can work with the legislature to get some of that back, which then frees up money for us to do more health education, for example, or more disease investigation. And I think that I know we would agree that we need to do more disease investigation and following up on STDs, HIV, tuberculosis, and so on. And so there are really mission-critical kinds of things. We're not required to have a vector control program, but if we didn't do it, the county has one, but it really looks at county-owned property and not county-wide, not city-wide. We are county-wide for surveillance. I think if we didn't do that, we all would be hard-pressed to get that. So there are things that we're not required to do that I think are mission critical. Our job is to prevent disease as best we can at all times, not just for our own citizens, but for all the visitors who come in. So we have to do that, or the economy will suffer, and our citizens will suffer. And although it might not be, I'm talking too much, I know, it may not be a hit on our budget if someone comes down with West Nile virus, but it's going to be a hit on your budgets or on Medicaid. And so I think that we need to be mindful of that.
All right.
Is that enough?
I'm not the chair. He's the chair.
Thank you, yes.
But I'm here to help.
You're just helping.
So does that conclude the report discussion?
Yes.
So
thank you.
Including, do we know what it says discuss and approve recommendations to the Southern Nevada District Board of Health? Anything else we need to do with that?
I guess just listening to this, and you may disagree with me, is that the Finance Committee met and we discussed the audit that has been completed but not reported back to the district, and all indications this audit will be a good audit compared to previous years with minimal findings that we will address immediately. And beyond that, I'm not sure that you have anything else.
Well, I think there is two other things that you have to at least report back to the board.
Okay.
And one is the dollar amount for the accreditation, that number was clarified.
And that was direct cost, so it could be there's a lot larger
right.
number somewhere, but they said direct.
That's
a direct cost.
And two, the internal auditor position that this board recommended that they hired, that was clarified that we don't necessarily need that right now, and we've made some changes because those are the two things we hear during public comment, and those are two things that the board was wanting.
Okay, that makes sense.
Could you say the part about the internal auditor position again?
So just the clarity on the internal auditor and the report, that the position we had got some initial help, and now we've made some changes within finance ourselves. That position is unnecessary.
You may not want to say anything about Mayor Marsh. I mean, I'd like to give Henderson credit where they deserve it.
No,
but
that's fine.
But we can write those up and get those to you.
That'd be fine. Okay. The final item on the agenda then is Okay.
Can we get a vote?
Okay.
Do we have to
move it to send you the recommendation to the board?
Okay. So we need a motion to accept the recommendations.
Move to accept.
To go to the Southern, to the Health District Board, right?
Second.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
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 Thank you.
Okay. We have a vote. All right. The last item is the public comment. Anybody here would like to make a public comment? Seeing none, we'll close that portion of the agenda and we will be adjourned.
Hey, Bob, something that the city can look at. So the county is working with the jail now on. With the jail on doing
some boxes.